I'm Danny.
And I'm Althea.
And we are
DNA Live, baby.
I love when he does that. Okay, so we have a very good show today. But before we do that, we do anything else, I wanted to first have like a music alert. Okay, give me some horns, please. Okay, thank you very much. This is regarding a very beautiful artist that we have worked with in the past and actually have been on the show. She actually did our first show this year. Her name is Michelle Langone. And she had she had this hit single that she got coming out right now, and it actually dropped on Friday, April 11th. And Danny actually got to premiere it exclusively on the DJ Energetic show, which is on Friday nights at 9 o'clock. With M City Jr.
Big shout out to M City.
We love M City.
Exactly.
And they, you know, premiered it on that show, but I wanted to give everybody a little taste of it. Go download it because it's a really good song, no matter what, by Michelle Langone, and it's featuring Quavo Honcho. Next up, I wanted to talk about real quick was Chris Milo. Mm-hmm. He's going to actually be playing July 27th. At the South Bay Music Festival. And that is a big to-do in Long Island. And he's actually performing there with other bands like Men at Work, Ambrosia.
Keep going.
There's a Depeche Mode band there as well, Naked Eyes. And it's hosted by Larry the Duck Dunn of SiriusXM and WLIR. So just, you know, put that on your calendar for July 27th. I'm going to be there. So the Great South Bay Music Festival, people, go check it out. Okay, just put it on your calendar. After that, I just wanted to remind everybody, you can download the DNA digital media app. You'll get all of our live streams. You'll get the DJ Energetic show. You'll get DNA Live and also the Sunday Freestyle Spectacular. And that's on Sundays between 4 and 8, right?
Yep.
4 and 8 p.m. So it's all freestyle music. And we've had actually a couple of the freestylers on your show on DJ Energetic. We had Raquel and Jocelyn Enriquez. So, I mean, you can check it out on the app. Okay, with that said.
Real quick.
Go ahead. I got one thing. Oh, you got
hit the alarm.
Hit the alarm? Okay.
So DNA is officially, right? Okay. It's officially going to be on in Texas and in.
Go ahead. Where?
Nashville.
Oh, Nashville, Tennessee. You know what it is with you? Every week you pretty much give me you bamboozle me with a new place. So
another thing too is people don't realize you can watch the DNA show every Wednesday in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Channel 29, as well as you can watch it in New Mexico, Channel 8. Okay. Every Friday. Excuse my language. I didn't give them it. Wednesday in D.C.
Okay.
8 to 9.
All right.
New Mexico, 10 to 11 p.m. Okay. And in California, San Francisco, 31 at 7 to 8. There you go.
And you just decided to spring that on me right now.
You know what? I just forgot about it.
Okay.
And the DNA show is syndicated on 100 plus stations across the country and international.
Is there anything else that you want to tell me that you haven't discussed with me?
I rule. Okay.
Okay, you think so. Anyway, coming up, we have a very special guest. He's the songwriter, the producer. I mean, this guy has a lot under his belt. And he's also, he has very good genes. And I'll explain that once he's on the show, okay? But we'll go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll have Andy Goldmark right here on DNA.
Welcome to Paradise Content Creation Studios, where your creativity finds its perfect home. Imagine a space where innovation meets inspiration at every corner. Our state-of-the-art facilities are designed to transform your ideas into extraordinary realities. Whether you're crafting cinematic masterpieces or viral content, we have it all covered. Join a community of creators who dare to dream and push the boundaries of possibility. With cutting-edge technology and a passionate team, your projects are destined for greatness. Step into a realm where every detail is meticulously crafted for your success. At Paradise Content Creation Studios, unleash the power of your imagination and watch it soar.
It is bella, tus ojitos me iluminan, aunque no quiera, no quiera, me tiene loco en la cabeza, cuando tus fotos no las he borrado, y tus besitos no los he olvidado. Eres bella, I think about you all the time, but it's been 2 years now, since I last saw you, y no sales de mí.
And we're back.
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have the pleasure of introducing this gentleman to the world. Please, everybody, welcome Andy Goldmark to the show.
Look at all those lovely plaques.
Oh, my God. You got a whole thing over there. My God. Am I on one of those plaques behind you or something?
Well, thank you, everybody, for this great show. It's nice to see you. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, I really
you
do.
You are not going anywhere.
I feel like, you know, like in a Super Bowl pass, like when your team just wins a damn Super Bowl. That's how I felt.
Yeah,
put it up right here.
Here we are. Yo, touchdown.
And I'm so excited to get you here. So, okay, but let me just start something, okay? Because, I mean, he's famous in his own right. Okay.
Okay.
But the lineage and the genetics with this individual.
Genetics.
Well, your genetics, okay?
Yes, ooh. I love it. Yeah.
He's the son of the inventor of the LP, okay? This is the son of a Hungarian engineer that came from Europe, right?
Go ahead.
This guy received the medal from George Bush. Oh, no, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter,
yeah.
Okay? So he is... He comes from this genetic of like the contributions that his father did, right? The development of communication sciences for education, entertainment, culture, and human service. He received the National Medal of Science. So this is the genetics that this beautiful individual already has in his system. Okay. So then, I mean, it's true, right?
The creative mind. That's crazy, love, to have a family member that invented the EP.
The LP.
Yeah. LP, yeah.
It's just the fact that if I had, like, I mean, if my father was the president of the United States,
I wouldn't be sitting here.
You would, well, that's true. You wouldn't be here. I'd be somewhere else.
But you know what's really cool is that his best friend was a guy named Dennis Gabor. Okay. My middle name, by the way. Oh. And in the 1960s, on Sunday, my dad would take me down to his laboratory where he gave space to Dennis. So Dennis could develop his little pet project called holography.
Wow.
Dennis would go on to win the Nobel Prize for inventing holography.
Wow.
So listen, guys, this is, I just got to get that up because you've kind of opened up a Pandora's box, but I love it. Any chance I can get to talk about this. My dad's closest neighbor was Benny Goodman.
Oh, now, my God. Benny Goodman. You wouldn't know Benny Goodman.
I know Benny.
Benny Goodman is one of the greatest jazz artists of all time. I mean, one of the greats of all time. And on Sunday evenings, because my dad and he were friends, Benny would come up to my father's house in Stamford, Connecticut, and play clarinet with my dad, who didn't play cello. He sawed cello. It sounded like, oh, my God, an electric. God bless him, an electric saw. And Benny, being the friend that he was, he didn't mind, because mostly Benny had a few shots of whiskey.
Oh, God. That's funny.
Now, what happens was my dad, I had a go-kart. My dad had a long driveway. So I would be riding my go-kart, and there was room for one car only. And I'd be at the top, and I would see up with walking Benny with his clarinet over his shoulder. You could hear the whiskey. You could smell the whiskey 40 feet in advance. And I went, oh, shit. Benny. It's Benny. And he's in my way.
Oh, my God.
So he would come up and he'd look at me and he'd say, hey, kid, how's it going? Okay. And I was so livid that he was in my way. I'd rev the engine. Yeah. And he'd say, okay, kid, no problem. I'll see you up there.
Oh, wow. You probably have so many stories.
We're a lot of famous people. Wow.
I'm lucky. Lucky I do. It was a really funny upbringing, but I was totally lucky to have such a wackadoodle dad who did so many great things and was musical. There was music running through all of our veins all the time. And I got the bug and, you know, I started writing songs at a very young age, age of 15, and was lucky enough to get my first meeting with the legendary A&R man at CBS at the time. And we had a blast. You know, I got shuffled off to the publishing arm of CBS Records, April Blackwood Music, and I was on my way, made a life out of it.
I mean, because he was also working for CBS Laboratories, right? And that's
yes, right. That's right. So he knew everybody at the company, you know. Right. You know, it was a very unusual way to see creativity in its finest fashion, really. Yeah. I was lucky.
I can imagine how many, you know, because like the LP wasn't, he didn't stop there. I mean, he did so many other things.
He did. You know? I mean, he was the original inventor of color television.
Right.
And he developed the forerunner of VHS and Beta. And he also developed the camera that Neil Armstrong took to the moon and sent pictures.
I have it all here.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going through it.
Go ahead. Oh, look.
You know, it wow. Because it just fascinating, you know, because, you know, I mean, you have to kind of go back a little bit to understand the person, the individual that you're interviewing, right? Mm-hmm. Because you get their background and stuff. And I mean, he had a flourishing black background to work with. You know, and I can only imagine the things that he learned from his dad, right?
Yeah.
That you brought forward.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. Not everybody gets that opportunity, you know?
Yeah. And yet the most important lesson I learned of anything from him was don't ever stop. Keep knocking against walls. Keep running into walls. Keep making zigs and zags. Turn right, turn left. But don't ever stop. And that's what I watched him do.
Yeah.
And so to me, the inventing process, which became for me the writing process, was chip away, chip away, chip away until you finally get there. And you will know when you get there.
Yeah. You know, so he has produced. Okay. Now I mean, it's just like when I was reading you and researching you and looking at your bio and stuff, I was like, I know that song. I know that song. Because he did Jennifer Page, Crush. Okay. Right.
Wow.
He did songs for Michael Bolton and Peebo Bryson, Kenny G, the Commodores, Patti LaBelle. Shall I go on? Carly Simon. You know, I mean, just looking at the Jermaine Jackson, Jeffrey Osborne. Shall I go on? But ridiculous. I'm just saying. And when I looked at the resume of this gentleman, I was like, that is pretty impressive. And not even impressive, it blew my mind. And then when I started reading about your father, I was like, no wonder, because you're a genius too.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. But
you know?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter where the product came from. You know, it's how it develops and how it goes forward, right?
Yeah.
And you took whatever you had growing up. You're a superstar in my book.
Yo, thank you. I appreciate that. Saying, well, I really do. I just, you know, feel like mostly I'm also extremely lucky. So to be able to do what I've been able to do and to just scratch out enough along the way to keep doing it. So, you know, it eventually comes right.
Yeah. You know why? Because a lot of people can come from that kind of lineage in genetics and stuff and do nothing with it.
Yep.
So you know what I'm trying to say? And they waste it. And people like yourself, you know, it's not like you're capitalizing it, but you're just using what you have and making good out of it and making people's lives brighter. And, you know, and you have
I still can't believe that, like, when you really look at everything that you've seen, you already know that you were going to be starting for greatness. You know what I'm saying? Because you were around somebody that was great and he was there to make you even greater.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the crash course for me was realizing pretty early on, and thank goodness I learned it early on, was you can't ever take any of that for granted. Being, you know, around that when you're growing up, lucky, but you can't, I could never assume that just because he had it, because the people around him had it, and I was used to seeing it and think, well, this is normal, I could never take it for granted. And I learned that lesson. It was a hard one to learn, really and truly. It was like, it just happened to be that set of circumstances I was, you know, raised up in. But I had to learn to work and bust my ass.
You learned how to do it yourself, but the good thing is you at least had a teacher.
Yes.
What I like what you just basically said was you know that you were there in front of it, it wasn't given to you. You had to earn it.
Yes. Well put. Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I like a lot. What I like a lot too is when I hear this, right? And then I see all the achievements that you did, is that you basically learned your own craft off of your old man. But it's not like that. It's that your old man, you saw what your old man did, and you were like, oh, wait a second. This is where I fit in, and this is how I can be great
for
the family, like, from the family.
Yeah.
That's great, from the legacy.
But you know what? It's kind of like you got to look at it, too, because you and him share the same type of quality, because you had a father that was in the business, that was a breakdancer, that did all the hip hop and rap and all that stuff.
That did
a
lot of big things, of big artists. Yeah.
Right. So you grew up with that and you took that in. Right. And you developed your own.
Well, I felt like I had to keep the family legacy alive. Like, that way, too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the same thing. It's the feeling like you are indebted and you're responsible at the same time, you know, and you feel like that's something that you carry around, and you learn to, as I know you did, is you learn to not let that hold you down. You use that to inspire you and take you
on. I got another name. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I never used his name. I went and I used his name, but then I built my own name from it.
Uh-huh.
Same way as you. That was your father, but you had to build your own name in the industry for people to really take you seriously where you're at the point now.
Yeah, you just nailed it. Exactly the way you said it. You should write that down. That's perfect for a plaque.
I'm going to write that down right now.
That's really good.
Well, that's the artist to another artist. Like, he's an artist. No matter what, created these records, he created these songs.
Yeah.
That's his artistry going into the universe. And when you're an artist and you make something going into the universe, you know you created that pattern.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people lose that when they go, okay, I just wrote a record. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, this artist is going to sing it, but you're not on it. But you know you're the inventor of this artist that basically brought out this music, this melody, and this thing. You brought this to the universe. So everybody universal got it because of you, that energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how often for you did you have to go, you went back to the wellspring of passion that you saw in your family and your father, and how much did that help you? Because it helped me enormously. If I had anything going for me, it's the fuel of passion, of loving what I did, you know, that was it that I could always depend and rely upon.
You know what I love too? I love when your father looks at you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it could just be for just one glance. Mm-hmm. A second, and he looks at you and he sees him in you, and then it just shocks him, because it's like, even though you're his offspring, right? He always feels like that's basically him, and it made him very proud to see me go and actually go, D, I want to do this on my own. I love your name, I'm gonna use the name, but let me go on my own and try to figure this thing out. And I felt like that's what made me more him respect me a lot more than me just walking in and try to be somebody with his name. And that's what I loved the most about it, was I'm not going to say I earned my dad's respect, because, you know, our fathers always want to see us do better than they do, because that's the only man in life that wants to see you do better than anything. You know what I'm saying? So you already know that. But he, when I looked into his eyes, man, and just seeing the happiness, me and him actually got a billboard together. You know, we did a record together. And me and him charted number 22 on the Billboard charts in the Latin market.
Uh-huh.
So for me and him to do that achievement, I felt like that's when I realized, right? everything that we went through for almost 20 something years in the struggle for that one record to go and that one record to hit number one on the iTunes urban charts in the USA made us look at each other. It was like, man,
yeah,
you did it.
Well, I'm, you know, speaking of that, which song, obviously, like I saw that Jennifer Page, obviously she was one of the biggest ones that got 40 million views on YouTube for that song, Crush. I used to love that song too.
Very good song.
There's nobody that doesn't know that song.
Can you explain though the writing method to actually like what basically made you decide to make that record?
Well, the thing is that I found Jennifer and signed her to my production company, and we got this deal. I got a deal through Adel Records, and so we were making an album. And about three quarters of the way, Adel didn't think I had a first single. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Jennifer and I said, look, they don't think we have a first single here. I got to go write one. And so this is going to take a second, but I got to at least make sure that that base is covered.
Right.
So I went and did it. I wrote a song with my buddy Mark Muller. And I knew the minute the first chorus was done that it was a hit.
Wow.
So went in, cut the track with Jennifer. She nailed the vocal. She killed it. Just one of my favorite singers of all time. And I mixed it and I played it for the head of the label, Adel here. Mm-hmm. And he's a great guy and he was giving us a great chance, but he didn't hear it as a single at all.
Usually they don't.
So what happened was it really got into a real standoff, you know, and I said, look, time is passing us by. It's spring. We got to get this out for summer. We can't wait. He said, well, I just don't hear it. And I said, so what happened was I figured I got to force their hand. I got to get this out there, whether they hear it or not, because I know it's a hit. So Diane Warren, who's, you know, the great songwriter, she and I wrote a hit together, and she turned me on to Kiss FM. She and Dorian, they sent me up to Kiss FM to meet with their program director, Tracy Austin. So I was doing this all unbeknownst to the label. And I went and played for Tracy, and she turns around when the record's done. She said, I've been looking for this record for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
I wanted this pop record because everything at that point was more alternative, grungy, more edgy, more cynical, sarcastic. This was a bright, beautiful little pop song that was unusual. She said, got to play it for my program director, Dan Kiley. So she played it for Dan. Next day, they say, when can we see her? When can she perform at any Kiss FM function between now and Christmas? Give us that guarantee and we'll start playing it. And they did, and it blew up and it became a huge hit through all of their stations. Can that was just question? One of the most gratifying parts of the story. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to write a bunch of hits, but what made this special is that it really had Cinderella all over it. Mm-hmm. Everything was against us. Everything was moving, you know, the other way. And I got a chance to break down the door, literally beat down the door and take it to the horse's mouth. People like you guys at radio, Howie Rosen at radio, that I trust, that I revere since I was born. I took it to the, you know, to the
Can I say something here?
Go ahead.
It always starts that way.
Yeah.
You always had that dude that always stopped. There was a single, I'm not going to say which single, but there was a single. They were like, nah, I'm really not feeling it. And you were like, oh, okay. So you're not feeling it. All right, cool. All of a sudden, we did the same thing. My cousin shot him out. We did the same thing. We went quietly. We went underneath the ground. And all of a sudden, started picking up. A&R came, the head of the whole. Oh yeah, man! I really believed in that record. We're gonna take that record right now. And we're gonna be pushing that. We're gonna push it all around. And you're looking at them and be like, "It's always the record that they say that they don't like."
Yeah,
that's always the record that takes off.
Yeah, yeah. But you know it in your belly. You know it's a hit.
Yeah.
And so you follow that instinct. You follow that passion seed, and you go for it. You know.
Yeah.
And when it works, it works.
That was beautiful.
It's just
it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
All right, out there you go. I like it. I'm time sorry. For I another mean, version.
That's amazing, though.
Because I grew up with that song and that other song, the baby song. Woo woo woo.
Yeah, Jeffrey Osborne.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the hits that I grew up with, you know, and so I really enjoyed it. So anyway, but you know, Jennifer Page. Yeah, I mean, it's always that one single that kind of like takes off.
Yeah.
Now, right? He went into the radios. People that's watching right now, independent artists, because a lot of independent artists watch us. Radio is the most important thing.
Yeah. Get
the word out there. I know everybody thinks streaming and all of this other stuff will help you, but radio really gets the word out there. And I keep trying to push it to everybody out there. Radio is the most important key to success, to make a hit record.
Yep.
It's the megaphone. It's the megaphone for all our feelings.
Yep, there you go.
I like that.
Oh, I love his words. Megaphone for all our feelings. I'm going to write that down.
You got some, he got some gems over here.
I know. I'm just writing whatever he says.
Right. Songwriter here. I want to get another story. Let's get another story about
Okay. Soul Provider with Michael Bolton. Tell us about that one.
Soul Provider. That's an interesting one. A mutual friend of Michael's and mine put us together and said, you guys need to write together. And Michael was just coming out with his first single, That's What Love Is All About. And it was taking off. And he was really starting to get known. And Nancy said, you and Michael really should write. And Michael knew about me. So we got together to write a song. And that was it. And he was starting to look toward his next album and putting that together and writing that. And I was writing a song for, of all people, Linda Ronstadt. And I was right, and in the chorus, I was well into writing the song, and I wrote this chorus. I thought, man, that would be so cool if she sang that, I want to be your soul provider. If that came from a woman to a man, really flip it on its head. So Michael comes over and he says, what's going on? I said, well, here's something I'm working. I played it for him. He says, oh man, we gotta do this. We gotta really bring this in. And I said, okay, what do you got in mind? He says, well, you know, I'm really close with James Ingram. I said, yeah. Well, James and I love each other. Let's write this. It's for him. Let's go. And I said, okay, no problem. You know, I didn't know Linda. She didn't know me, so no one's going to get hurt. So we wrote the song, and about halfway through, almost finishing it, he says, you know what? I don't think it's good for James. I said, really? I said, who's it good for? And he says, I think it's good for me. I said, really? Okay. And at that point, his single was going up, up, and up. And I said, well, you know, twist my arm, you know?
just take it.
And so it took us for some reason a long time to finish it, but we eventually did. And then the song was produced by my buddy Pete Benetta and Rick Chitikoff. They went and they did the record, and it came and I listened to it. They did a beautiful job. I said, this is really great. And then I heard that it was going to be the first single off his next album, which was going to be called Soul Provider. And I said, man, this is right on time. I'm really in a sweet spot here. So I called Donnie Einer, who at that point was head of promotion at Columbia Records. And I said, Donnie, I said, this is wonderful. I knew him from Arista Days and writing with Carly Simon and what she and I did together. So we were talking. I said, why did you choose Soul Provider of all the songs on this album, the first single? And he gave one of the smartest answers I've ever heard, and he said, I chose Soul Provider because that's exactly what he is. I thought, and I thought, that's a smart man. That's somebody who doesn't just think in terms of numbers and dollars and cents, but he's got a connection. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and that one got 55 million views on YouTube.
But listen, that's only on YouTube, okay? YouTube wasn't back in those days. You gotta add that to probably a billion right now.
Well, yeah.
Think about all the people that listen to that record.
Yeah.
I remember the record.
Look, if it's got 50 something million right now on there, and it's got, and the other one's got 40.
40, right. But that
when it first got released and then it became platinum and then it went gold. Platinum first, so you got to think about all those other people too.
Yeah.
Radio stations that hit. See, people don't realize neither is, because I do a lot of radio stuff. And when I look at the charts, right, and I see how many spins it gets, like a lot of these records, man, from over the years added up more spins than you can think of.
But then you think about how many people around the world heard that song.
Exactly.
You know, you go, and how many people was I able to reach?
Right.
I mean,
that's why millions
everywhere heard what I was saying and felt from my heart. I got a chance to have their ear for 3 minutes. I mean, right. How lucky is that?
How lucky is that? Yeah.
It's beyond all of that. Is like sometimes I have this image of some girl in Nebraska I've never met and never will, and some couple in the Philippines who I've never met and never will, and they heard this song, and what little thing did it do to them in that moment?
Yeah, but you know what? You're a great man. So, but you know what?
Some of the music.
I know. Well, let me just say, because there's also Ando's record shop. We only got 15 minutes left because I want to get that song in, Big Old Coconut. Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought it was hilarious. Okay. So introduce the song.
Yes, please.
Big Old Coconut.
I wish I was a big old coconut swinging high up in a tree. When the sun get up in the morning, it come down and have a little think of me. Friends and neighbors grew worried as can be by the boy there down the strange street. When they see him climbing up a tree one day, they pull him down to the ground. They try to explain, hey, you, what about the human responsibility? And the laws of practicality. The boy said, what about some room to breathe? Knowledge of mine while I climb back up my tree. I wish I was a big old coconut swinging high up in a tree. When the sun get up in the morning, it come down and have a little peek at me. Now the elders ask, what do you wish to be? A coconut when you could raise our family. Lead a life of frugal industry. But the boy responds, that's not the life for me. Listen, smarty fans, don't talk fancy to me. You're young and bold, so you miss what others see. The boy said, better young and bold than timid and old. I see what others miss and they miss what I see. Showers out in a coconut, swinging high up in a tree. When the sun get up in the morning, it come down to have a little peek. Now the citizens talking about the fine tree and the danger he presented to society. It's not the kind of thing our children should see. I'm afraid we must ask our coconut friendly. Oh boy. Oh boy. When the citizens gone to chase the boy away, they were taken by surprise by a tidal wave. Sweep away the others, leave one tree, and at the top, if you stop, you can hear a boy sing. Big old coconut swinging high up in a tree. When the sun get up in the morning, it come down and have a little peek at me. Oh, glad I am a big old coconut swinging high up in a tree. When the sun get up in the morning, it come down and have a little peek at me.
Ooh.
Oh my god,
you know what? I really do love that record.
It's such a, you know, like I actually almost hurt myself, but I was jumping over here.
No, I do like that record because that record is very creative in a time period where people are not that creative right now.
Yeah,
well, you know what, also these days, who doesn't want to be a big old coconut up in a tree somewhere?
That's true. I wouldn't mind being on a coconut tree. I do like coconut. I mean, but when I first saw it, I was like, big old coconut. I was like, really, dude? You know? And then when I started playing it, I was like, you know, like we always get songs and we're never quite sure what we're going to get.
Right.
But when I started hearing it, the second it was like playing, I was like, oh, this is good. Oh, I like this, you know, and then big old coconut. I'm like, he has that that voice for those type of songs, those mm-hmm. pick me up kind of songs.
What,
you know,
what's cool about that record too is I really could see that in like one I know it's crazy, but a Disney kind of movie kind of thing.
Animation.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, to me, that song is dope because one, I like the concept, it's different. And it shows his writing ability.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because like you were saying, like, you know, people just want to be away from everything and just want to relax. And it's a really good song. It's an uplifting kind of song.
Yeah,
it reminded me of one of those animation kind of movies.
Yeah.
the character would come walking in. You see the sun. You see them in a cool vehicle. So that's what it reminded me of. Even with the coconut sitting there by the beach.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So
it could have been used in like Moana or something.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like those kind of things.
Like the Hawaiian.
Like Hawaii. Type. Yeah.
Like Hawaiian.
I mean, the song itself serves as like a script for a movie. You know, it's a
very
it's
great
a,
song.
It's a pitch unto itself. So.
So we can make this into a movie.
Absolutely.
I could star in it.
Yep.
She's the hey, big we got coconut. The.
I'm the big old coconut.
First animated feature from Strong Island TV.
There you go. I'll wear the give coconut a clap on hat. That one. I don't mind. I did that once before. I've done that. I did that. I've actually wore one of those, you know.
I know.
Okay. I'm just saying I could throw it out there. I'm pretty good at acting.
So real quick, let me ask a quick question. So what made you decide to make that record?
What made me decide what? To make that record.
Yeah. To make that record.
Make that record. Well, I loved, okay. Honestly, I wasn't sure, but I played it for a couple people. Then I played it for the guy who co-produced it with me, and I, amongst other things. And that was the one that leapt out at everybody. And I kind of went, really? I said, I mean, I had fun with it. I really loved doing it. But you hear that as something everybody's going to love. And everyone's just like, absolutely. So I did get convinced to go out with it. But what I did love about it, what sparked me to do it, was just the feeling of freedom that anyone can have when you are a big old coconut. And the chances this little kid is willing to take, climbing up a tree, being his own person, and into the heights of life, and looking down over the world and seeing all the things that are wrong from his perch up in the coconut tree, and being able to tell the townspeople what's wrong. I mean, it comes with a message. It's not just sort of like wish I were a big old coconut. Yeah. It's like, so his little brain is seeing life as a kid on the ground, and then he's going up, and from the tree he becomes a philosopher king who's looking down and seeing all the problems we're having, and how we really don't, how you don't have to live by everybody's rules. You can make your own way in life.
Wow. And this is why he got 55 million views on Michael Bolton. And 40 million.
Now he got plenty of plaques. He can really count them.
I'm just saying. And this is why. Because when I saw that song, I was, you know, yeah, it is about a coconut. But I now, with him telling me a little bit more, it just, but tell us a little bit about, because we got a few minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Ando's Record Shop.
Okay. Ando's Record Shop, when I decided sometime around the pandemic that, you know, I had something I really wanted to go back and re-achieve. I started out as a singer-songwriter in the early 70s, 1973, on Warner Brothers Records. When that didn't pan out, I became a staff songwriter at Warner Brothers. So I spent most of my career being behind the camera as a writer, producer. And I felt around that time of the pandemic, when there was time for everybody to think, and we had a lot of time to do that, I said, I got something I want to do here. I want to go back and I want to be a singer-songwriter again. That's not done. I'm not finished. And now I have craft, you know, behind it that I didn't have then. I have experience. I have a vision that I can see things through on that I wasn't capable of doing. I said, let's go try it. So first thing I think to myself is, okay, what am I going to say? Right. How am I going to say it? And who's going to want to hear it? Right. So I started to think those are things. I started writing things down. And finally I said, okay, I'm ready. I want to go for it. I want to pick a song by song, and put them out. And then I'm going as Andy Goldmark. And I thought to myself, I don't have to be Andy Goldmark. I have a brand new palette. And by the way, as a singer-songwriter, there's not that many people who know who I am. So let's invent a whole new persona. So I didn't know who that was. I had 100 different names. And then on my birthday, my two angel daughters gave me this hat that I'm wearing. Okay. It said, happy birthday, Ando's Record Shop.
Wow. You mean they came up with the name?
They came up with the name. My name growing up as a kid was Ando. My dad invented the record. And the shop is all the things that I make through records and putting them out there.
You know, this
guy. Samuel, that's just.
Ando. Record Shop, his daughter. How beautiful is that?
It's
amazing.
He's all choked up right now.
Nah, it's just
they're all choked up
because it's basically your whole life.
It is
in the fact that when they gave that to me and it had it on the cake and it had it in the hat, and I was blown away. And then when I was thinking, of course, I'm Ando's record shop. It fits. It's and it's honest, you know. Yeah. It's not some fantasy trip. It just happens to be who I am.
Is that amazing?
It's art.
That is just, I mean,
art that reflects life.
Yes.
That's all you can say.
Yeah.
You are such a genuine soul. I mean, but you know, everything that has transpired in his life was for a purpose, is for a reason. You know, there's a reason why everything that happened in his life, but he made it happen as well. You know, I'm just, I am blown away right now, especially with the daughters doing that for you. I mean, whew, I am choked up right now. What about you?
Well, it's something, because my eldest daughter got a little bit of her grandfather's gene in her as well.
Oh, really?
And I'm especially proud of her, along with my other daughter. My wife and my oldest daughter have a company called MEJ, and it's a very successful hair fashion accessory company. Oh, so wow. She's now, you know, developed a whole thing in fashion. So they came up with this hat, the two of them. And that's, you know, I really was blown away and was very touched.
Are you actually writing any other songs right now?
Yeah, I have a new single that's going to be coming out in about 2 months. It's a song, I'm not going to hide it. I wrote it to my wife. Aww. And it's a song that basically... it's the discovery of when I discovered all the ways that she's better than me.
Oh, you should write a song like that.
I did. It was called Let It Know.
I'm just saying.
I'm serious. I don't know any better song than that song.
That's true. Okay. You got me there. Okay. So what is the song called?
It's called Better Than. It's in the midst of being produced and mixed, and it'll be out in about a month or two, and I will immediately get it to you guys. So
please do. I would love to hear it.
You better.
Absolutely.
Because I already know she's going to be looking at me like, let her know why.
Yeah. No, it's just been such a pleasure. I'm kind of mad that we're not getting more time with you, because we had the technical difficulty at the beginning. But
I think we got a lot of things done. I think he... honestly, man, he's got a huge, like,
we gotta do part two. Show with
we gotta
guy.
Do part two.
We gotta we do part two. I'm in. Anytime we can do part two, I'm up for it.
You know what? When that new single comes out.
Right.
Yeah.
New single comes out.
Come definitely on the show, and let's dig more deep into it.
Oh, we'll have a field day with that one. Really, that'll be awesome. Great fun to do.
Oh,
and
again, Andy, it's cool. Remember, everybody, Andy Goldmark, just go check him out. I mean, even if you just Google him, I mean, there's a whole, you know, there's just so much about you on YouTube and Google and everything. So you can go check Andy out anytime. But of course, you'll find him here on DNA Live. Mm-hmm. If anything, thank you again so much. I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you guys. I really do. I appreciate you guys so much. This has been so much fun. And talk about a rich experience. This really has been awesome.
Thank you so much.
Listen, we're just as good as the guests that we have on.
Exactly. Oh.
That's what I always say. It's not about us. It's about the guests that we have. Because if you're boring, we pretty much put a lot of music videos on.
Why you got to tell everybody what we do?
It's true.
Why are you blowing up our spot?
I'm just saying. Oh, if you see more than 3 videos, you'll know why.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. So anyway, again, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for watching this beautiful man, Andy Goldmark. And Andy we Goldmark. Will have him back on the show soon with his new record. Okay. So thank you again, sir.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Amazing having you.
I know. He was great.
And to everybody out there, you already know it's your boy, Danny.
And Althea.
And we are
CNA Live, baby.
Casting off, baby. Have a good time, guys.
Stay on.